This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Imagine a world without lights. But since the first commercially viable light bulb by Thomas Edison in 1879, we have moved on to LED, to lighting for Internet of Things, and even light as a new communication tool. Now, to help us chart this transition, we have with us Alok Ghosh, ASEAN CEO of Signify, a global leading lighting company, who is here in the studio to tell us how his company plans to stay relevant in this very challenging operating environment. Welcome to the show. Now, Signify underwent a name change in 2018 from Philips Lighting. Mm-hmm. Philips is a household name for many, so why the name change? What is the significance of this, and no pun intended?
Very interesting question, and I think the most significant reason for this, again, no pun intended, is that this industry has gone through a lot of changes in the past few years. While analog was becoming digital, while conventional was becoming LED, a lot of new vistas opened up for the industry and as well for us, where lighting could become beyond illumination. Now, as Philips, we have been the world's favorite brand for more than 125 years. But then we are primarily into solutions, lighting solutions for homes, for offices, for public spaces, industries, you name it. But what we could also see is that with digital getting incorporated, this actually could offer us an opportunity because we do have the world's largest installed base of electrified points. And if we can bring in intelligence into those electrified light points, this gives us an opportunity to be in a unique position to become the backbone of what everybody's talking about, IoT. And that's one of the major reasons of moving from not just lighting, but into many other things. Things like, you know, smart homes, smart cities, smart public spaces, and so much more. And that was one of the major reasons for re-christening ourselves into a new avatar of Signify, where we just not only provide lighting, but also lighting solutions, systems, services, and so on and so forth.
And briefly tell us about the four business units within Signify.
Sure. So currently we are operating around four business units or business groups, as we call it. Primarily Prof, which focuses on professional applications. Take factories, take offices, take street
shopping
lighting,
malls.
Shopping malls, anything which keeps the night sky alive. Then we have business group Home, which focuses on mainly lighting solutions for home usage. But then again, there is a commodity stream, which is BG LED and BG Lamps. Lamps, of course, is in its natural decline phase, where this is more related to the conventional technologies. And BG LED is a replacement of that, which is coming up, which, of course, is much more longer lasting and saves a lot of energy.
So let's bring this back to ASEAN, because you're the ASEAN head. Now, of all these four business units that we talk about, or the four business groupings, what's the most important, or do you see the most growth for in this region?
That's a tough question. Of course, for me, especially ASEAN, which happens to be one of the fastest growing regions in the world, every market is an opportunity, right? At this point of time, there is... Let me turn this around in a different way. 13% of the world's energy consumption is via lighting. And there is potential to bring it down to 8% over the next few years. Now, this as a percentage might sound very small. But just to give you a reference, this is equivalent to 1,250 power plants. Now, that's an amazing potential which is there. And ASEAN, being a very progressive region, everywhere there is opportunities. Of course, Malaysia happens to be the headquarters for our operations here, and we do see a lot of potential, especially because the government is also now mandated with under Industry Forward, a clear push for not only just energy efficient, which we have been providing and, you know, our able competitors are also providing, but a push towards connected. And that's what we see as the true growth engines across this region.
And geographically, I mean, among the countries in ASEAN, where do you see, or where is the fastest growing market? Which has the most potential for Signify?
Where do you see more potential at this point of time? Definitely markets like Vietnam. A lot of investments is happening, especially after the trade wars. As you know, that you know there is a planned movement towards that. Malaysia, Singapore, these are hotspots, complete hotspots, because again, technology adoption in these places are much higher than some of these markets.
Can you disclose to us which is the biggest market in ASEAN for Signify then?
Yeah, so I'm afraid I can't give you the numbers, but the biggest in ASEAN is Thailand. That's primarily because it's population-driven, right? And of course, the consumption is there. On the other hand, there are markets which are like Singapore, where we see that adoption of some of these innovations that we have is much higher and faster.
I mean, it's also a function of their wealth, right, in Singapore. Is that the case? Or
could be. Also, I think it's a function of how progressive the citizens and the government is.
And we go back to ASEAN, because if I look at some of the data from the 2018 Signify Annual Report, mm-hmm. The rest of the world, where I presume ASEAN sits in, accounts for 34% of total sales. Europe is the largest at 36%, while US is 30%, and this is €6 billion worth of sales globally, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, how big is ASEAN in this rest of the world category, or how big is it as a percentage of total sales?
Well, as I said, I mean, I will not be in a position to, you know, kind of elucidate on the numbers, but I must say that ASEAN is definitely one of the most important strategic thrust areas for Signify. We are part of, as you said, the rest of the world. The rest of the world is actually divided into four or five market groups. So we have India market group, we have Middle East and Turkey market group, we have Africa, and then we have ASEAN. And out of these, I think very exciting times are there for some of these countries within ASEAN, as I just mentioned, where we clearly see that while there is a lot of potential to still continue to convert from conventional to LED, primarily because it's high population, right, and takes time to reach out. But there is a lot of new emerging opportunities.
But have you seen a slowdown in this region with regards to your sales? Because, I mean, let's face it, the trade war, there is a slowdown in global growth. I mean, no country has remained untouched.
Sure.
We have seen GDP come down, for example, in Singapore, Indonesia, Thailand, even Malaysia, third quarter number was lower than the second quarter. How has business been for you?
Well, I would like to share that actually, for us, it has been a little bit different.
This is despite the fact that your group, you know, for third quarter, their results were below street expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, management cut its full year forecast for the whole group, while EBITDA margins, that range has been cut to 10.3% to 10.6% from, I think, what was originally targeted 11% to 13%. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that ASEAN is...
Let me explain
you
why.
Know, is able to buck the trend?
Indeed. Again, a few reasons. Let's first understand, the whole industry is in a downsizing, mode. Why? Because while LEDs are long-lasting, they're super long-lasting.
Yeah, they last too long, perhaps.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good news for our consumers. And we are actively working bucking up the trend there. But that also means that the conversion rate, the replacement cycles have come down. On the other hand, as I mentioned, that especially within ASEAN, and that's how I think what has fueled ASEAN's growth for the last 4 or 5 years now continuously, is that there is so much more to do, number one. Innovation has been key towards that, where our aim is not to just provide the cheapest solution. Our aim is to provide the best solution, which provides a little bit more than lighting. And that's where I think consumers and end users are buying that argument and saying, hey, it makes more sense to be with a brand like Philips.
But even in ASEAN, where I would say the GDP per capita is lower than, let's say, some of your other markets, mm-hmm. like Europe and America.
Sure.
So the consumers aren't sensitive to, let's say, prices, whether it's a business or even a household. Would they not just choose based on pricing? Because one of the issues is that China,
yeah.
I mean, they are like the largest manufacturer of LED lights. And mm-hmm. they've come a long way. And a lot of it, of course, is due to government support in the mm-hmm. form of subsidies and taxes. But that has also allowed them to price their goods mm-hmm. On the lower end of the scale. Mm-hmm. And in particular for ASEAN, some mm-hmm. of their products actually benefit from zero or lower tariffs.
Right.
So how do you compete? Because I would say the ASEAN consumer is a price-sensitive one.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good to have operate in a market where there is a lot of awareness around this. Having said that, yes, it is affected by the proximity to China, no doubt about it. But again, on the long run, as we have seen it for the last more than a century, that customers expect reliability more than just a change or a drop in a price temporarily. Customers expect continuous service. And that's where we stand out, because we are here to stay. More importantly, ASEAN, yes, maybe it's a bit of a slowdown. But to be honest, it's also a lot of rich pockets here, which means that there is a lot of appetite for investment in the right things. And that's where innovation comes into play.
You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alok Ghosh, CEO of Signify ASEAN. When we come back, we'll be discussing whether this company can transform its century-old business model, and will Interact and Li-Fi be their solution? Mm-hmm. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Alok Ghosh, CEO of Signify Asia. Just a few moments ago, we were talking about the significance of the ASEAN market. And does this part of the world face the same challenges in Europe and North America, declining sales and margin compression? But let's go back to this discussion about the conventional market, the light bulb, you know, because won't the trajectory, regardless of which part of the world we are in, be the same as what we saw in Europe and America? I mean, in the past, an old-fashioned light bulb lasts about 18 months, I'm about up thereabouts.
Sure. Yeah.
So great, you had an endless replacement cycle for Philips lighting, which is what you used to be called. But now the focus is, of course, on LED lights. And LED lights are designed to last almost a lifetime. So ironically, the product that you make, and you perhaps make too well, is causing a structural decline, would you say?
I would put it in a different way. I think we are lucky, our generation and coming generations are lucky to have something like LED, which is revolutionizing this whole industry. I mean, never ever have this much of disruption happened probably in very few industries. Not only it's long-lasting, it's saving a lot of energy, a lot of natural resources that this earth is starving at this point of time. So there is no doubt about it that we are on the right track. What is important is that it's not only about replacement cycles. And we are seeing that because this technology has been there now for almost a decade, that people still want to change and go for something more. And that's where LED also happens to be digital. Now, let me give an example. A few months back, we announced something called as Interact. Now, Interact is a platform which helps to connect smart devices seamlessly. Not only just lighting, but smart devices. Take an example. In an office space, you have, of course, lighting. You have curtains. You have energy monitoring. You have space monitoring, which all can be connected seamlessly via an open-ended and a scalable platform called Interact. And that opens up completely new opportunities of not only just maximizing the energy efficiency, but also maximizing productivity or even employee well-being, where a particular employee can now change the light setting in his or her own cubicle the way she or he wants it. The light becomes smart and intuitive enough that when in the morning time it's a brighter white, while in the afternoon time it slowly starts dimming down into a more amber kind of shade. Now, these are directly related to the what we call as human-centric lighting.
But how much traction do you have in this region?
A lot.
Is it a very, I mean, are the margins very attractive, and can it actually compensate for, I would suppose, the decline of the conventional lights then business?
Surely. So to give you an example, at this point of time, we have roughly about 50 million connected light points around the world. When I say connected, these are light points which also are communicating with each other, therefore in and out of data. Within the region, there are many, many examples that I can even, you know, kind of quote. For example, in Malaysia, we have Melaka, which had the first smart city street lighting project, the Menora Tunnel. And there are many highways around Malaysia, the Prime Minister's office.
And are the margins better than, let's say, what the average EBITDA margins your group is targeting for, above 10%?
Well, let me put it this way. The competition is lesser there because this is high-end technology. And this is where what we believe in is that we spend a lot in R&D. We spend about 4% on R&D, which is, you know, kind of benchmarkable across tech industries. And that's where I think consumers and end users are willing to pay more for the value addition that they get beyond just lighting.
And let's move on to this thing called Li-Fi, right? Mm-hmm. From what I understand, it's an alternative broadband technology. So tell me more about this, because I'm quite interested about it.
Yes and no. So it's not really an alternative. Let me explain this a bit. So what we are seeing is that, of course, nowadays, I guess Wi-Fi is more important than probably food.
For right. Some people, yes.
And there is limited bandwidths, right? Li-Fi is a last mile technology which helps to make Wi-Fi much more faster. But that's not the only benefit. It makes it very secure.
But you need to be under the light point,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed. So this works only under the light beam. Now, take an example. If you're in a airplane, right, and you want to access your internet, of course it's possible these days, but with Wi-Fi it's also possible that somebody else might be, you know, kind of having access to your information. With Li-Fi that's not possible anymore. Think about defense establishments, think about hospitals. Think about even office spaces where sensitive information is being used or discussed. This is where Li-Fi becomes a brilliant solution because not only it's super fast, it's also super secure.
But it's not without its challenges, right? Because I gather you need a dongle to use the system.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to know is what happens when 5G comes around? Is that going to be a threat to this Li-Fi?
No.
No.
Not at all. Because, as I said, it's a last mile. So whatever technology, whatever protocol brings the data to that light point can change.
But for it to be really fully commercially viable, right, do you need adoption by, let's say, some of the notebook manufacturers or the smartphone manufacturers so that the end consumer can use it?
Yeah, eventually. Because
the dongle is a hindrance,
yes,
in a way,
at this
right?
point of time, I must say that it's already commercially viable. We have had test beds and pilots all across this region. There are some even in Malaysia where we are actually going for commercial projects already. There are still some challenges with the hardware which is required for that. But we do see that with enhanced adoption, it's a matter of time that the chips will be embedded or will be part of the chips embedded in various laptops and phones.
But is this Interact and Li-Fi enough for Signify to stay relevant? Because if I look at the, you know, all the global lighting companies, mm-hmm. it's not the best of times, right? I mean, your closest competitor, Osram, is up for sale. And GE threw in the towel and sold its struggling smart lighting group to a private equity firm. Mm-hmm. Now, on your part, I see Signify trimming costs across the globe. Mm-hmm. But after some point, there's only so much you can do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it going to be tough times ahead for y'all?
So, as I said, the industry is going through a transformation. We do think that it is kind of reaching its inflection point where the new technologies will stabilize and consolidation will happen, which is happening across the world.
Well, you have bought some companies in the past.
Indeed. What we have not done is that we have bought on strategic thrust areas. We have not just bought scale. Because we believe very strongly, and that has worked for us so far, is that, as I mentioned, that in today's world, people are seeking much more than lighting. So we are expanding very fast in data-enabled services, for example, with lighting as the hub. We are expanding into new verticals like animal, horti, Li-Fi, 3D printing, which is completely customizable, for example, 3D printed lighting. We strongly believe that these new growth engines will help to kind of bridge the gap between the natural industry decline in the conventional part that we are seeing.
And I want to end this conversation on environment and sustainability, because a lot of messaging I see in the annual reports. Mm-hmm. But is it just lip service? I mean, you have this target of carbon neutrality for the group mm-hmm. and zero waste to landfill. Mm-hmm. Nice, lofty goals. Mm-hmm. But are these achievable, especially in ASEAN? Because I saw the sustainability report mm-hmm. on ASEAN and it's nil and nil for... I guess that it doesn't have give me the information with regards to these 2 points.
Mm-hmm. I think the best answer to your question would be that this is the fourth year we have been named industry leader by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. We work very closely with UNDP on the sustainability goals. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, that in terms of reducing the carbon footprint of this whole world, we believe that we have played a major role and we'll continue to do so because, simply speaking, LEDs save up to 60 to 70% as compared to conventional. So everybody's doing their bit there.
But in ASEAN, the waste recycle for Signify is zero.
Because we do not have a manufacturing unit as yet. So this waste recycling is only related to manufacturing units. But I must add that we have now recently expanded and we have local manufacturing here in Malaysia. We are actually looking at Thailand. And then the goals will continue on that.
On that note, thank you for your time today to tell us the challenges that this century-old business has had to face and how Signify plans to transform. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.